5:30, I'm going to call this meeting of the Toledo Express Airport JEDD meeting as posted. Please call the roll.
Mr. Dickens?
Here.
Mr. Miller?
Present.
Mr. Michael?
Here.
And for the record, Mr. Downey is not in attendance.
Okay. You should have received a copy of the minutes from the February 5th meeting.
I will move to approve as prepared.
Second.
Second by Michael. On the motion, Michael?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Dickens?
Yes. Okay, so in your packet, we've got a couple of correspondence pieces. The first one you will note, Mr. Summer is not here tonight. He submitted his resignation. He took a position with a company on the outside of the JED and felt that it would be appropriate for him to step away. So unfortunately, we have lost our treasurer. So I guess we need to take formal action just to accept the resignation.
I will move that we accept Dustin's resignation.
I'll second.
On the motion, Dickens?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Okay. I have had a conversation with the Port Authority, and they've identified somebody who's also they're moving into the JED. They expressed an interest in participating. So that recommendation is being forwarded to both the townships and the city for their action. So you should be seeing that soon. I told Dustin I wasn't quite sure if we were going to accept his recommendation or not. But, and then in terms of the treasurer's, I did have a brief conversation with him. I mean, he was giving it thought. I had not heard back from him, so maybe that's why he's not here tonight. But hopefully we'll hear back soon. Also in your packet after that, we did get the disbursement report from the city for the fourth quarter. If there's any question about that.
No.
Questions here?
We need a motion to accept. Is that?
Yeah.
Move to accept the distribution report from the city. No.
Second that.
On the motion, Miller?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Dickens?
Yes. So I guess until we have a new treasurer, I've kind of been watching the financials, the statements as they come in. So in your packet, I did include a summary from the checking account. So as of the 30th, we had $67,880.85 in the signature account, $56,621.90 in Star Ohio for a total asset of $124,502.75. Also included, just for your review, the February, March, and April statement from Star Ohio.
So I will accept the revenue report as prepared.
I'll second.
On the motion, Dickens?
Yes.
Michael?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Also in your packet, you'll see the receipt of the Hinkle filing from our financial statements that Julian and Group had prepared on our behalf and submitted those to the Auditor of State. I know the Auditor's Office has already been in touch about doing their review I think they were looking at mid-June?
Actually, they're looking to start in about 10 days.
Oh, in about 10 days to do that. But it sounded like they were going to be able to do the higher level of the AUP, agreed upon procedures.
They had asked, one is a simpler format that I believe they did previously.
Okay.
And that's what he was recommending. So he did ask if we wanted to proceed with that.
I don't have a problem with that.
Somebody tried to agreed upon procedures on it or something.
I am going to plead ignorance. I wish Dustin were here.
Yeah, I think that's what I saw was the AUP. So it's those checks for compliance. Doesn't go quite as in depth,
yeah,
but still satisfies.
They take samples and test. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll do like three tests instead of seven or something like that.
Thank you.
Don't quote me on that, but that's generally.
Sure.
What the AUP looks like. I remember a few things from my days in office. And right behind the Hinkle filing receipt, there is the invoice from Julian and Groove. We had previously approved it, but just wanted to present that to you for final approval so we can get that check in the mail to them. That was the amount of $500.
Move to accept and pay the invoice from Julian and Groove for the preparation for the audit.
Yeah, do the 2024 statements.
Yeah.
Yeah. Second there.
Second by Miller. On the motion, Miller.
Yes.
Dickon.
Yes.
Michael.
Yes.
Okay. Chair, I will need to get with you to do the second signature on the check.
Okay.
So I'll let you know when that's ready, probably either tomorrow or Friday.
Yeah. I'll be out of town Friday.
We'll figure out tomorrow then.
Okay.
So that was all from the financial standpoint. Under new business, did mention the open position on the board and we're going to get that old. So hopefully, I know they generated some recommendation to you, so you should probably have it within the next couple of days.
Okay.
So it's Dave Cole, I believe is who it was. He's their COO.
Okay. Yeah, I'll look for it.
So. Also in your packet is the Tron Air request. This is year 7 of 10. You'll see in your packet form was complete Tron Air, and then we also see an email back from the city. They did not sign it, but they sent an email verifying that the financials were accurate with what they had. And that would be for the amount of $20,000.
Move to approve. Did you have a question?
$20,000 or $20,000?
Well, $20,000 is what the grant would be to the most.
Oh,
if I recall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Move to approve the job creation grant application from Conair.
Second.
Second by Nolan. On the motion, Dickon.
Yes.
Michael.
Yes.
Bill.
Yes. So I will have to get, I'll have you sign that check as well.
Tomorrow.
Okay. 550, huh? moving in, any new business that we need to address?
No.
In terms of old business, any progress on audit committee members?
Have we got any volunteers?
We have one, Mr. Pike, I believe, agreed to do that, and then I think Dustin was afraid he was going to get sucked into it, and so that's So I had not heard from Ms. Downey back on that one. So we will carry that forward to our next meeting then.
It's not a position that's highly sought out.
I have trouble finding people to pay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And then there was also some conversation at the February meeting around the new state law that was passed allowing for virtual meetings. In your packet, you should have received the policy that was proposed put together by Mr. Sella and Ms. Sanderson to allow us to hold a virtual meeting. There were some, correct me if I'm wrong in any of this, but really allows organizations like us to do that as long as it's not approving expenditures that are out of the ordinary or if there's significant matters of concern before the board.
It's somewhat restrictive. I mean, if not, I could like skim through this.
That would be great.
Get you out of here in time. So this policy for virtual public meetings, most of this is verbatim out of the Ohio Revised Code. I mean, they told us exactly what had to be in the policy, and other than changing some tenses of words, that's what you have here. And I will say kind of the intent of this was more directed at like the statewide boards and their commissions and committees. It's more directed that are like driving from Canton to Columbus, go to a meeting that they could attend virtually. It isn't necessarily designed for local boards, but these types of you are allowed to use it. And let's see, I think we've covered mostly like so paragraphs 1 through 5. That's all pretty much covered. Paragraph 6 is one thing a member of the board wants to attend virtually has to notify the chairperson 48 hours in advance. So you can't just email everyone a link and have them jump on if they say, I don't feel like going driving over there today. You have to at least know 48 hours in advance. And this is kind of part and parcel of the being more geared toward the state level boards, but so there is that, and there are some restrictions on things you can do in a meeting that's held virtually. There's a provision for board members to notify the chair that they don't think a particular agenda item is warranted to be held under virtual meeting, and in that case you have to have an in-person meeting. Paragraph 9 is I'll just explain that, and I did review the board powers and do under the contract. And I said, this policy doesn't apply to what the revised code calls a hearing. This board doesn't really have those type of hearings, which they're talking about an adjudicatory hearing, like something quasi-judicial. Most of those types of hearings involve licenses, state licenses. And generally, you have a stenographic record, and it's an awful lot easier if you do have to have a stenographic record of anything to have it all in the same room. It's just difficult. Most of these things result in appealable orders. They have sworn witnesses. I mean, it's not the type of hearing. So I just excluded that as saying you can't have you can have a hearing, you just can't have it virtually. And also those require consent of all parties. So like the person that wants to appear and present their evidence, if they don't agree to having it virtually, you can't have it anyway. So that was that. The only things that were discretionary are paragraph 10, the definitions of emergency, major non-routine expenditure, and significant hiring decision. Those definitions were discretionary. So I just kind of pulled these out of other things that I had, and I mean, an emergency, that's pretty self-explanatory, I thought, but major non-routine expenditure, I just defined it as being like anything that you're authorized to spend under the contract be defined as a routine expenditure.
So would like the job creation grant be considered a routine? Or would that depend on the threshold?
I thought about that.
I think it's still probably good to do those big ones in person, just trying to understand what routine is. Certainly the distribution of the report should be in person.
But, you know, like distribution of the proceeds, you know, it doesn't have to, you know, you, and all you're talking about is really clearly, did you get in a virtual meeting, excluding, well, it's so really this is just saying the things that we're excluding are the things that are pretty clear. I think the job creation grant, you could do that in a virtual meeting under this policy. It would, I don't know. What's the maximum? It's the 20,000.
It's been 20,000 every time, so that's the maximum.
I mean, we could just bump the amount up to 20,000.
And I still think it's probably good to do those. I was just trying to get a sense for what was.
Yeah.
Probably only the two, either the job creation with Tronair and the Port Authority. Right. I think those are the two that are only our major.
Right, right.
Unless you're going to transfer into Star account, we may have had.
And the Port Authority, I think that's covered under the contract. Like their distribution is.
I mean, I think just as operating for us, I think it would still be wise to do that in person.
Yeah, those two, at least those two. And
so, I mean, really the only other expense we would have would be back to the accounting firm for the preparation, and then that's 500, the insurance is 1,400.
Well, under the.
I was just trying to get a sense of what.
I get it, and there's. Probably more questions about this thing than our answers. But,
that's just the nature of the rise guy, right?
Jeez, believe me. But we could just change that to 20,000.
I don't think it's really necessary, because I think we would want to do the Tronair one, because it is an application in case there's questions, and we want to.
If you want to do them in person, that's the safe harbor. Just do it in person.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think anybody's going to come back on the insurance and say, but on those other things, I think it's good to have that dialogue if necessary. So I'm comfortable with the 5,000.
Just leave it, and then significant hiring decision. I just said hiring of any full time employee, which I don't deem this. Doing.
And so we'd bring in a couple million a year, might be
in the near future. But, that was that. And then let me just tell you a couple of other things. So also, so sort of administering this is probably going to require like a basic like protocol checklist, which we would work with Ms. Coons to develop, and she assumes she would be administering that as to the 48 hours notice and the 72-hour notice, and you know, somebody should be checking that off, and they should have like a pretty concise guideline of what to do. So you'd need that, and we would do that, and then well, that might be about it. So if you are intent on having option, I know we did check with Mrs. Kinson, you know, you need all the technological requirements of everybody has to be able to see everybody, the public has to be able to link in to a virtual meeting, and although your board members can't, unless they give 48 hours notice.
Yeah, I mean, I think my intent looking at, not necessarily we would do it all the time, but at least have that option if we know that, hey, you know, we know that people are going to be on vacation that week, but they could dial in, and, you know, if we know in advance, that's if what we need to do. Again, just to have that in case you needed it.
I think it's worth setting up. I mean, if you had something significant come up, and it's not to say you couldn't, and you needed a quorum, or and somebody really just, you know, couldn't make, I mean, you'd have that ability to do that, and it could get set up, the technology's all here to do it, and you know, the staff capable. So I'll go ahead and
my question, Walt, is if we approve this from a logistics standpoint, even if we're all here, trustees, do we have to have that on for the public, advertise it for the public that they're available to them, and can they jump on? Do we just have to have it on kind of thing while we're meeting?
No. You only have to allow the public to attend virtually if you are having a virtual meeting with at least one of your members attending virtually.
Okay.
And so, no, you don't have to like live stream it, you know, all the time. Although I think you could, you know, I mean, people will be fascinated.
I have a face for radio.
So really, I mean, if you wanted to, you can adopt the policy by, I mean, I don't really have any questions about it. Now they say, hey, you know, 95% of it is all mandatory language anyway. You can adopt the policy by a motion and vote, and then we go to work on making sure we have a good protocol worksheet. And I'd say, really, if the issue came up, I mean, you know, it could be pulled together pretty quickly. I mean, you know, maybe you'd need like around the 5 days at a time or something. Because might take us, if we had a scramble, you know, we'd take us a couple days, and then we'd need the 72 hours. So it could come together pretty quickly, and chances are the need for it would come, you know, you're going to have something that's going to be on the agenda that you need to pass, and somebody's going to say, well, I'm going to be in Chicago, you know, I'll have my phone, but so I think it's worth
it. Yeah, again, preference is still we meet in person, but at least have the option if we needed it.
That's there in case this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really what it's intended for. So.
Okay, I'll move to adopt a policy for virtual public meetings.
Second.
Second by Miller. On the motion, Dickin?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Anything else for the delivery?
That's 3 minutes.
Who's going to take it?
Open the floor for the public.
No, I'm going to ask the public.
I move to adjourn at 5:57.
Second.
All those in favor?
All right.